Hey, sister girl. So we're back with another episode. And this episode, I really wanted to have a conversation with a mover and shaker who is in the entertainment business. I would say media business. I would say PR business. I would say all areas, if you ask me. She's been very, very positive. She's always, to me, been like somebody who I feel like other women can look up to, who they can learn from. And I wanted to have a candid conversation because I feel like with the media industry being so big and so popular and people wanting to actually get into the entertainment business and PR, and they want to learn how to film and they want to learn how to edit, you kind of get this glamorous side of everything and you don't know what it really entails to be that, you know, media mogul in the making and on the rise. So I wanted to bring somebody who I know for a fact is about to, she's already making waves in media PR and everything else. So I wanted to introduce you guys to Avery, Miss Artistry Watson. Hey, Avery, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? Hi, guys. How are you guys doing? How's everything?
I'm good. I really wanted to.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I know you're super duper busy, so I'm so excited that you took the time out to basically, you know, kick it with the sister girls. So.
Well, thank you, girl.
Basically, let's get right into it. People who don't know, just introduce them to who you are and exactly what you do.
Well, hi. My name is Avery, Ms. Artistry Watson. I'm a former executive assistant at Babel Entertainment. Well, I had an all-female media company back in 2013, called Dominia Media Group, and I also have my own company now called Multi Artistry Entertainment, which is a full-service management, PR, video, and photo service company. I provide services for artists, brands, all talent, actors, actresses, throughout various states, and yeah, I'm based out of New York, and the company Multi Artistry ENT has a lot of good clients, great clients that I would love for the world to see. So I'm just pushing. You know, that's a little bit about me. And yeah, thank you.
So how did you get your start in media?
Well, I guess it came from realizing that all the colleges that I got accepted to didn't have a music program at all. So I was kind of forced to go to the next biggest thing that was closer to entertainment, which was media, entertainment, and journalism at my school. So I just really just took into just the whole camera and doing all of the television work and production work in school. So I really just kind of fell in love with television. I was interning at BET prior to getting my degree in media, but I had some experience, hands-on experience through BET, which kind of opened my eyes to the fact that I needed to get a degree in it. And as well, expand. I wasn't too bad. I felt like it came easy for me to do media, so I wanted to do something that I knew that I could really get through in college and excel in and get to grades as a major.
Mm-hmm. So with such a big,
so yeah, that's kind of how that started.
So with such a need for women in media, you know, to help shine light on our stories and, like, you know, open up that gate. Who taught you about editing and film after, like, the college? And what, like, started, did you keep on educating yourself? Did you go to school after that? Or did you just kind of, like, thug it out and was just like, I'm going to just be in the booth, you know, working at excelling on my own?
Well, for videos and video editing, I went to school for it. So I had a television friend. So I did videos and video editing in school. And what was so good about that was that I had a teacher who was the editor for, like, Chase Page and Citibank. He did all the promo videos for the commercials. So he was real cool, and he took a liking to me because I was so passionate, and I came through, like, ready to, like, really learn because I felt like I was in so many great positive things at the time that, like, my teacher just saw me. So he really, really helped me out. I feel like amongst other students, he really was pushing me, and I learned a lot. So he taught me a lot with Final Cut and everything, and I kind of took it to Adobe Premiere on my own because I didn't have a Mac at home, so I kind of forced myself to get familiar with the Adobe Premiere programs and as well as Photoshop. But I was also doing, like, Photoshop and, like, iMovie and programs like that in high school. I had, like, a music and media class in high school, so I was already using Mac, so I was familiar. So I wasn't really, like, data tech. I was always good at media. type of stuff. So, but yeah, that's how I kind of, I had a little bit of teaching, a little bit of prior knowledge, and a little bit of hustle, you know, grinding and figuring everything out on my own too. A little bit of everything.
Okay, so you said before that you've had actual companies prior to the one that you have now, and you kind of started over and, you know, I guess pivoted into doing your more of your own thing and not so in like a group setting. So how did that, the transition, help you, and what did you learn from that? Because I know a lot of times, you know, we want to start over, but people only know us as being in a group or being as doing one thing. And then we get kind of scared to say, you know what, I want to step out and do something else. So how did you make the transition without feeling like, okay, everybody's going to like think something, you know, they won't go with the flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I just had to just say, I don't care, because that wasn't the right thing to me. So mm-hmm. if I wasn't happy, I wasn't going to be the best person in this world, you know? So I needed to be happy. I needed to feel like my work was progressing in a way where I was able to grow and see results and see as much money as possible for what I was doing. I felt like sometimes as a group, you know, you could either do well or if you just go a different way. So I just felt like the people that probably looked at my transition, they probably, well, for the most part, coming out of a group setting into your own is always a great thing, you know, because you always get to learn more about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know how to look at the group too, and you know how to work with others when it comes down to partnership now. You know, I dealt with so much as a group that now I work with other people, I go about things a little more differently. And, you know, than before, it's just like growing in business, learning about yourself, learning how to be in business, you know, learning how to be fair, but also more fair to yourself, because that's what matters is you at the end of the day. And so, yeah, I mean, for the most part, people may look at it as, oh, wow, you transitioned, but it's always good to transition out mm-hmm. and to transition forward and to always make sure that you are happy mm-hmm. with what you're doing. You don't want to feel like, you know, mm-hmm. people or things are bringing you down while you're doing work mm-hmm. because it's just going to be dreadful. And I just felt like it became dreadful working as a group when you are doing all of the work. It's really dreadful.
Yeah.
So I couldn't care what anybody had to say because only I felt the way I felt. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to feel better. So that transition helped me a lot.
All right, so blinded by the bling. I feel like when we look at, you know, I work in media, I blog, I do different things myself, but I also know how it looks on the other side as a viewer of social media, as a person on Twitter. If you didn't know any better, it's like your lives, people's lives are in media and PR, it looks like the biggest party that you want to be invited to. So what is the real deal about life in an entertainment industry, because you deal with some major heavy hitters when it comes to celebrities and even people that you represent on your own portfolio. So what is the day in the life for real, for real? Like, no BS. Like, what is it really like?
Well, I can't tell you. I'm just kidding. Day in the life, this is literally like the hustle. Like, everyone is hustling. Like, don't think because someone's at the top that they're not hustling, you know? So for me, I'm not, you know, totally at the top, but what I meant by that was, like, for example, Beyonce. Just because she's Beyonce doesn't mean she's not hustling for the next best thing mm-hmm. to keep her at the top, to keep her going, you know? So I think with anybody's team behind the scenes, you would see that the artists themselves want the best for themselves. Mm-hmm. And they want to be great, especially if you have a great artist. That means they're most likely, you know, specific. And they're very, very, like, sure what they want. Mm-hmm. So behind the scenes for me, like, for example, my artist, Rel Bay, you know, we go out a lot on the road. So for him, I'm, like, his road manager and personal assistant slash, like, manager role. So it's a lot in one. So for me and him, we have to really, 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 really be on the same page and learn how to, like, deal with each other mm-hmm. all the way. So for us, behind the scenes, there's a lot of, oh, I don't like that. I like that. Well, you like this? Well, I don't like that. And then when it comes out to going out, you know, my other business partner, Rel Bay, he works with Remy Ma. So, like, everything for us is, like, behind the scenes, it's good, but it's also bad because my artist isn't Remy Ma's artist. So, I'm still hustling. Mm-hmm. Even though we have that connection, you know, we're still hustling to make sure that Rel is still in the spotlight, you know, and not kind of underneath anyone. Because as we know, cosigns is really good, but also it can still sometimes look at this like you're an artist that's just trying too hard or being a groupie or whatever it is about other artists. And that's not what we want any of our clients to look like. So it's a hustle in terms of like making it seem like you're at a high point while also still being humble around the artists, celebrities, but still trying to show the celebrities that you're with that, hey, I'm somebody too. And then also trying to maintain just finances while working, you know, because you're out and about, but you still got to pay for things. You still got to figure out, you know, who's paying who, who's going to pay you back. And so it's a lot of financial things that happens behind the scenes, which I think a lot of people don't talk about as much, that financially you go through a lot when dealing with an artist. You spend so much money, you get so much money back, or, you know, you deal with so much. But behind the scenes, there's so many different topics to discuss. It's a lot, which is why I'm all over the place right now. But, yeah, it's a lot to discuss in terms of the artist that you're dealing with or a client that you're dealing with behind the scenes and going out partying and feel like, oh, yeah, it's lit, whatever. But, yeah, like, tomorrow I got to be lit again. The next day I have to be lit again, and I have to be lit again. So I'm tired. You know, so you have to remain, you know, your sanity while keeping it all together and, again, doing the job the right way and the best way possible.
And so what do you, as a woman in media and entertainment, what do you, what is one thing you think you wish somebody would have told you before you got in this business that you could tell somebody else who tell another woman who's thinking about getting into this business or who is very new?
I wish somebody would have told me to follow like technology a little more and with the more technological route, you know, possibly, you know, creating an app or something at an early stage or a music app or something. I wish somebody was able to kind of talk to me about more of the tech space and where we're going. Because I feel like now, you know, there's so many great ideas people have in tech, and I think that that's where we're going right now in this industry. A lot of tech and music and media, everything is under like a phone now. So I really wish that I was able to create an app early on, maybe like 6 years ago. I probably would have had, you know, some money and some more, you know, opportunities. So, yeah, I really wish somebody really kind of took it into, like, to tell me about, like, more of these apps and what they're doing. And all these different data and how to manipulate a person's, you know, a consumer so you can basically get paid.
Yeah.
And I think a passion is a passion. I think a lot of people in this business have a passion for it, which is why we may do it for only $30,000 to $40,000 a year until we really make it big. And I think that that's cool, but if I would have had my own side hustle that got me that $1 million, then I'll be a little more happier right now.
I got you. So what has been one of the most, I'm thinking the same thing. I should have had an app too. I always say I should have invested in Google a long time ago.
Right.
Even if it would have been like a couple thousand, I would have still been straight.
Right.
So what has been one of the most challenging and rewarding experiences that you have had since being, you know, working in the industry and being an entrepreneur?
I think there's so many challenges. But I'm going to talk about one challenge that is way more effective to me, which is, you know, being a plus-size black woman in this industry, I think, is the major struggle. And I truly thank right now the curvy, plus-size fashion community for helping to uplift me in the process of being out on the field of music and entertainment. Lord, like in 2009, 2010, I felt like the business truly, you know, made plus-size women feel bad. Like, I was feeling bad, you know, a few years ago. And I felt like as the plus-size community came up and the curvy community came up and you see so many more plus-size beautiful women around, I think that kind of inspired me. So out and about, you know, in this business, you know, you go through so much of, you know, people looking at you. That's the key thing. You have to be, you know, you have to be easy on the eyes. You got to look easy. You got to you're kind of, you know.
But let's talk about that. You've always, and I'm not trying to say this because, you know, we know each other, we're familiar with each other, but I'm just saying you've always dressed really nice. You've always been really, you know, to me, camera ready. And so I did want to, like, delve a little bit deeper into what you were saying with the plus size being in entertainment, because obviously I'm a plus size girl myself, and I know some of the woes firsthand of, you know, trying to do your job and trying to do everything, but still, you know, they want the camera girl, even though you're behind the camera, that's more appealing and you don't actually have to be on camera. So I wanted you to kind of explain that if you could, like, because I think people are probably just going to be like, well, if she works behind the camera, how does that even apply to her? But it does. But let you, I want to let you explain that.
Well, I think that as time passed, I got tired of not being able to be looked at. Like, I want to look cute, too. I'm cute. Mm-hmm. I'm beautiful. So, I think, for me, I can't explain this. It's difficult to talk about so much that happened prior to this. Like, that made me feel like I had to get cute. I think, like I said, I think it was self-motivating. I think it was seeing the Kirby community mm-hmm. do what they do, and it made me feel like, well, hey, Avery, like, you know, get cute, like, get real cute, enjoy yourself, figure out a way to feel good, feel beautiful, and be comfortable while working, you know? Mm-hmm. You won't see me in a high heel, but mm-hmm. I don't have on shoes, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have on heels, but it will be a short heel
mm-hmm.
and a dress,
mm-hmm.
you know, makeup done, whatever, but that's just so I can remain comfortable,
mm-hmm.
so I can move around, because I'm moving around most of the time. So I think it's necessary for you to be behind the camera, still looking cute. And I also think it's necessary if you're on camera to always stay on point
mm-hmm.
because this industry is just so self-centered and everyone wants to, like, make sure, you know, look at you. Like, if, you know, I'm not wearing a mink, but at least I look decent and, you know, people can see that, you know, I cared about myself before walking out the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that I was presentable. So I think it's very important for a plus-size woman in any business, any industry, to come out their house looking, you know, beautiful and feeling beautiful, because it's hard enough that we get looked at as a stereotype of not being as beautiful as someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when someone may say, oh, you're beautiful for a dark-skinned girl, or you're, mm-hmm. oh, you look cute for a big girl, but no, I'm just cute, or I'm just beautiful. So I think it's very important to, you know, show the movement that's happening, like, you know, we're all beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. don't judge me based mm-hmm. upon my size or my weight or whatever. And it's, you know, I think it's difficult in this business because of a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I've dealt with men in this business is just like, for example, they'll let a skinny girl go into the section in the club and tell the big girl, wait, hold on, give me like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait, why do you have to give you 5 minutes to get in the club? And I was with you the whole entire day.
Mm-hmm.
So are you being funny because this girl has a big Nicki Minaj booty and fake titties and a lace front wig? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real crazy. So I think it's beneficial to always look a certain way. So you can just, you know, have things come to you naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel good too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm almost feeling good. So, and that's kind of my experience. I think a lot of things happen in my past that, you know, probably made me feel bad, which is why I'm more confident.
Because
mm-hmm. I went through so much and I'm way more confident, so I just make sure I'm dressed a certain way. And, you know, I feel good. And once people see you feel good and you look happy, they want to be around you more, too.
That's very true. So what has been one of the most rewarding things that you've experienced in your career?
Most rewarding? You know what? The most rewarding feeling was actually winning the Millennials Valuable Power Players Award.
Yes.
It's called MVP by Miss Brittany. The Millennial Valuable Power Player Award was like the most rewarding because the actual award was beautiful. Also, it was nice, it was glass, it was nice. And also, Brittany recognized a lot of things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that I did. And she made me feel really good about the things that I was doing as a millennial,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's important that we reward each other, let each other know that, hey, girl, I'm proud of you. So I think that was the most rewarding because, you know, 2 months later, you know, Ray Holiday was rewarded. And it showed me that, you know, I'm on the right path,
mm-hmm.
and I got to keep going, and this like-minded individual around me that I can continue working with and growing with. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody feels good when they're getting an award, especially for the work that they've done. So, yeah, that was like the most, like the major experience that affected me in my career that I kind of like always try to like let people know, like, yeah, I got awarded, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this was great, you know? So, yeah, that was a great experience.
And so just like you've been rewarded, which congratulations, because I remember that. And I remember I was like, yes, go girl, go.
Thank you.
And I was just like, you know, one of the things I always am interested from other entrepreneurs and from other women in business and from other women just following their dreams is the balance of it all. Because even you said yourself, you didn't realize all of the things that you had accomplished and the things that you were doing. So it's just like, because you're always just working and moving, how do you ever like take the time out and just be like, okay, I have to actually live my life a little bit. I got to kind of have a balance. Like, it has to be a point where I'm not just working, and I'm actually, like, you know, taking care of myself and having fun and going on vacation and not missing those moments. So how do you balance that?
I think it's just, it's a hard thing to balance, you know? Well, like, to be really honest with you, it's a hard thing to balance, only because in this business, you start seeing that your work becomes a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard sometimes to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like to put your phone down and just say, you know, I'm not going to answer this text message right now. I'm just not going to do it. Like, I just need to. It gets hard because you want the answers and you want to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, how I balance it is, you know, give yourself a certain day out the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see how your week is going. So you know what? This Sunday is going to be my day to relax. I told myself that last Monday, this Sunday, is going to be my day to relax. And I'm still going off to an event today.
Mm-hmm.
So the balance happens at a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even during Christmas, you know, I'm still working only because I'm an entrepreneur. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're kind of working year round. It's just, you will have a different type of vacation time than a normal person because your timing is so different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the balance is balancing out what day you really want to just relax and not do anything, or letting your people know and your team, like, hey, I'm unavailable these days, so I will be on vacation. So, yeah, it's just being upfront with whoever you're working with so they know, like, hey, I'm unavailable, just so you know, so you hit me up before this day because I will not be answering. And then sometimes it's okay to do that, as long as you let them know whoever you're dealing with or whoever your clients are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you balance it.
Mm-hmm.
You must let people know, like, I'm not free, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just not free. I can't do it. I need time for myself. And most people that really care about you, they will understand.
Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things that I wanted to talk about with being an entrepreneur is balancing the idea that people assume that they're supposed to get things for free or for the low. So how have you been able to kind of assert yourself in business as a woman? And like, you know, as a woman, you know, doing that, because this is one of those industries where it's just like, yo, can I just, well, you know, I'm just starting out and da da da. And it's like, you have your rate. So how did you stick to them? And, you know, for other, you know, young women, especially because I don't know if you're comfortable sharing your age. You're not like, you know, older, you're young, you're in your 20s. So it's just like, when they see you, and then you have a baby face. So when I see you too, it's just like, I'm about to be, you know, you have to make sure you're a certain, you know, a seriousness, and to make sure you get your money. So how have you been able to, like, you know, deal with that?
Well, one thing I can say is that with overall, like, people need to understand that I'm providing you a service.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into Starbucks, you cannot talk them down from your caramel macchiato. You cannot talk them down by saying, hey, can you add less whipped cream? And maybe 50 cents less, you can't do that. They have a set price for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what they're bringing in on a monthly basis. So it's the same for me. And I always bring that Starbucks metaphor up to everyone that I have to deal with so that everybody can understand. It's just that simple. They don't realize it because they see it's coming from me directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if I was the employer for Multi-Artistry Entertainment, and not the person, the CEO, making this business deal right now, you can't really talk that person down. They're giving you the price.
Mm-hmm.
So I let them know like that. Well, listen, it's my rates and everything else. Oh, what can I get from it? What am I getting? I explain everything. What is what you're getting? This is what's going on. Okay. And, oh, is there any way we do less of this and bring the price down and we can do this? I'm like, well, listen, like I said, Starbucks, when you're going to Starbucks, you cannot talk from now. You're paying for your 463 latte and I'm on macchiato, like everyone else. And they're not taking down 10, 20 cents just because you don't want an extra shot.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I might use that as a scenario when I'm dealing with clients in the future, too, because
yeah,
I think
that's
what.
The best analogy. It's just that simple, guys. Like, it's just that simple. I can't do something for free all the way, but I can work out deals with you. Y'all all hustling in this business, and I want a good rapport, and I want everyone to know that I'm here to help them genuinely. So
mm-hmm.
I'm down to, like, help people out and work with them.
Mm-hmm.
But don't force me to negotiate a price with you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to force it. Like, I'm allowed to actually be something that we can agree on being a lower price for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, that's how I do it. I basically let people know how much my prices are, and I get straight to the point. And I think at this point, I received a lot of good clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a lot of clients that help me out, so I always make sure to let people know as a referral, like, oh, Avery's great, you know, like, she's good, you know, so I think the referral is what helps you a lot when it's a referrer's client, rather than it just being, like, you seeking out to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having a referrer client is always great when someone can say, and who can vouch for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that matters a lot.
Now, speaking of clients, how do you deal with, like, the diva, I've already arrived? Because some of these are new artists. Some of these are seasoned artists. So how do you deal with a difficult client while maintaining a good business relationship? Because I think that's where a lot of people in business, I don't want to say they go wrong, but they should take a client relations 101 class before they get into business, because you don't realize that you're dealing with many personalities on a different day, and everybody is different. So how do you manage the difficult clients and making sure that they're satisfied while also making sure that you don't lose your mind?
It's like this. Like, this is another analogy that I think I use as well with dealing with people that I'm working for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying me, I'm working for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, that's basically what it is. So now it's like this. All right. If you're at work at your job and a customer comes into the job and, like, spits on your face, or you're at the retail cashier, as a cashier, spits on your face, you're hoping that your manager will have your back
mm-hmm.
and speak to corporate to let them know that this is what happened, this is the incident. You know, so I feel like as someone's manager or someone that is dealing with them, to, you know, have their back and say, hey, you know what? I got your back. What you need? I think when dealing with divas, you ask them what they need. You let them know, like, okay, well, that will work and that won't. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. Because if you're a stern person, you know, they're stern and you're someone that they believe and they respect your word, I don't think this is something that, you know, they will, like, make it feel like you're not right. You have to let them know that I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard sometimes, like, you know, people are divas, but you have to let people know I'm getting paid to do this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right. It's okay. Relax, you know, and it's okay to tell people to relax.
Okay.
That's how I'm trying to deal with that.
I think that's really great, actually. So on rough days, because you're an entrepreneur, because you're a human being, and because, you know, you go through so much in your personal life, your professional life, how do you maintain the effort to keep pushing, to keep going when you feel like you want to give up, or you feel like, you know, this is not working out how I want it to work out, or the timeline is not meeting where you want to, you know, where you saw yourself in, like, in a certain amount of time, or, you know, you're just frustrated. So how do you get through those days to say, all right, on Monday, we're going to give ourselves a fresh start and we're going to keep going, especially because you're a CEO and not a worker for somebody. You got to kind of self-motivate and find it, you know, outside yourself. Because, you know, and if you had a company, your boss might pat you in the back or say, you know what, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Or you can talk to other, you know, people, your coworker, your neighbor, and be like, girl, I hate this job. And they'll, you know, pump you up. So how do you do that when you're at the head of the table to get that, you know, to keep going and to keep, you know?
I think it's something you have to tell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not being lazy today. Let me get up and just finish this. Or, you know what? I'm not a lazy person. Why am I letting this beat me up? Mm-hmm. I kind of use the word lazy as a way of motivation. That's not who I am. I'm not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I use that word
mm-hmm.
as a way to say, oh, Avery, you're not lazy. So get up, do what you got to do, and deal with it. And mm-hmm. I think that's the mindset you have to have as an entrepreneur. It's understanding it's a hustle. And things are not going to go right only because you don't have a big, crazy budget that can allow things to move without you having to do much.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think the best way to keep being motivated is to sometimes take that time to cry, take that time to get down because you need to let it out. You need to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you know you have this business. So I think it's right to stay motivated and tell yourself, I'm not lazy. I won't put this project back. I will keep moving because I want to see results. You know, keep telling yourself, you know, I'm results driven and this is going to happen to me
mm-hmm.
the way I would like it to go. And I also think prayer is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, listening to YouTube affirmations is a great way. You mm-hmm. know, when you're down, just throw in the YouTube affirmations and just let them, you know, let them talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you that, you know, today's going to be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make some money today. So
mm-hmm.
I think affirmation is what really, really helps me
mm-hmm.
Get through a lot in business.
Okay, so name about two people who you want to work with in the future that you haven't worked with already, obviously.
Beyonce. I didn't want to go there because I'm not like a stereotypical person about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at this point in my career now, I think that would be great to me to be able to work with Queen Bee.
Yeah, Beyonce is always great. I feel like anybody who works for Beyonce, they become the best version of a worker for themselves because she's such a worker. You know what I mean? She's a perfectionist. She's a professional. So I feel like if you are able to work around anybody that's like that, you will be at an elevated place once you're, you know, finished working with them. So when anybody say they want to work with Beyonce, I don't necessarily think that you're a stan. I just think that you understand the level of work ethic and work that she puts into it. And I feel like everybody who wants to be in that type of and do work with themselves, they want to put themselves around people who are like that. So I get it. And plus, I'm a B fan, so that's different for me anyway. But,
and I also feel like
mm-hmm.
I worked with B before, and that was like a great experience for B because I worked with her, and she's someone that I have so many different businesses
mm-hmm.
that kind of inspired me. And, you know, I told myself at 11 years old, I'm going to work for Diddy. And I ended up really working for Diddy.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah.
And, that's how you know what you say and what you do, the energy you put out, you can actually get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the key to life, and that's the always put positive things out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it back. And at 11 years old, I was a part of Sean Diddy Combs' nonprofit organization, and I was able to have a written up article with my name and his name attached to it, you know, for the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now a time that he ran in mm-hmm. 2003. I was, what, 13? And that's crazy. Years later, I was able to work with him, hands on him, directly, and work with his family, meet his kids, and all these great things. And being able to then transition out of executive assistant role for him and then doing operations for the company, and learning so much about business and how to work with different people, different types of people, finance, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great experience to be able to tell yourself, I can do this, and then actually see it happen to yourself. I think that's the most, the best thing you can do for yourself.
So who inspires you?
Who?
Yeah, who inspires you?
Diddy.
Diddy? Yeah, he's one of my biggest inspirations as well. Diddy, Oprah, Beyonce. So I totally get it. And what is one piece of advice that you would give another sister girl that someone didn't give you? Overall, it doesn't have to be about business. It doesn't have just overall in life, navigating through business, personal, all of that. What's some gems that you can drop right now?
Gems I would say is keep your dreams to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Keep your dreams to yourself.
So, now, why would you say that? Because a lot of people say speak it into existence, tell people so they can help you. So I always hear both of those. I hear keep it to yourself, and then I hear, in order for somebody to help you or to get to where you need to go, you need to tell somebody. So which one, why do you veer towards keeping it to yourself?
It's more so like, you know, all depends on where you grew up. So I grew up in the Bronx, right? I grew up in the neighborhoods of people that didn't want to see you win. So growing up in this urban environment, you sometimes tend to, you know, that one person out the group that might be either the smartest or the most inspired person out the group, and you tell people what you're doing and how great you're feeling, and you know, people tend to take you down, try to bring you down because they don't feel like how you feel, or mm-hmm. they don't have what you have,
mm-hmm.
or you got people around you that just don't want to give you. Mm-hmm. So to share your dreams with that person, it's like a boomerang where anything can backfire. So mm-hmm. I think it's necessary to sometimes pick and choose who you say things to.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you want something, you know, you ask somebody for it, and if you get it, that's great. If you don't, you don't. But in terms of balancing that, I think sometimes as we're growing up, to my younger self, if you've seen a year around a group of people that may not see the things that you see or want the same things that you want, and you probably just really have them as a good friend, mm-hmm. they don't need to know what your dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people don't understand, even younger kids at that, they mm-hmm. don't know what they're really doing,
mm-hmm.
or how they are, and what they say, how it affects people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's necessary to keep your dreams to yourself, around your friends, amongst your friends, mm-hmm. your family, your cousins, your aunts, and, you know, talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll guide you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, African American people, we don't talk to our family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's best to like talk to people that really want the best for you,
mm-hmm.
about your dreams, is what I really mean.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes talking to anybody that's around you that are friends, sometimes you end up, you know, doing things and it ends up not working out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You end up losing a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta pick and choose. That's basically what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Any other gems?
Yeah. Yes. What goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what you do. Watch what you say to people. People will definitely be watching you in this business.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And keep your legs closed. and keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in this business don't keep their word.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, keeping your word is really, really good. Starting mm-hmm. off, you know, the young in this business starting off, I think keeping your word is really, really dope. It's really a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be a lot of older people in this business.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just practice saying what you mean and doing what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way to grow that great rapport in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Being true to what you're saying you're going to do and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at right now, too. Like, I'm not, if people keep, like, you know, telling me they're going to do something and they don't do it, it's no disrespect to you, but I'm going to stop contacting you.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing, whoever I'm around, is doing what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important when you want to see results on things, you know?
That's so very true.
So, that's kind of, you know, the mindset, you know, you gotta have. Just, if you be that key person that do what you say you're gonna do,
mm-hmm.
you'll be an instrument to help whatever situation.
And usually, what people don't know is that's how you get the ripple effect for being known. Because even though I've only worked with you a couple of times, I've always known you for being a worker and knowing, you know, about your business. And I feel like that takes people further in their careers than, you know, doing anything else, really. Because once somebody say your name, anything that follows it, that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else. So I definitely agree with you on that one.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you're such a busy, busy, busy young woman. I just want to thank you, you know, for being an inspiration to myself and to other, because I feel like every time I see you on social media, when you're doing your thing, you always show love. We always, you know, connect when we can. And I think that's what has made you stuck out to me. You never, you know, you've had your difference of opinions with people. You change companies and you've done it gracefully. You never bash anybody on social media. You always are positive. You always are, like, when I'm around you, I feel your energy, and, you know, it's always great. So I definitely really want everybody to follow you on social media. Oh, give yourself where they can find you at on social media. I want people to follow you and really keep up with what you're doing, because you're really empowering, especially to, like, full-figure women who want to be in entertainment, all of that we covered. You really embody that. So if you don't hear it from nobody else, you are doing your thing, girl. So tell them where they can find you for you dip. I know you got an event to go to.
All right. So, everyone, thank you again for tuning in with my girl, Cherie. She's holding it down. And I'm Avery, Miss Artistry. On Instagram, it's MS Artistry, MSArtistry. Mm-hmm. My company's Multi Artistry Entertainment. I'm based out of New York. I'm in the Bronx, and I'm always traveling, so you can find me in probably every state, and you'll see me moving. So, don't worry about it. I'm always busy. I'm always busy and working remotely, so if you need some PR services.
All right, sister girl, so that concludes our interview with Avery Watson. Make sure you follow her on social media. On Instagram, it's Miss MSArtistry. You can also follow her at her site, www.missartistry.com, and just keep up with her. She's very powerful, inspiring. She's a beautiful person, and she's always, you know, having fun and motivated, and she's a hard worker. So keep up with her. Make sure you keep up with us. Hello, thesistergirlnextdoor.com. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes. Follow us on social media, The Sister Girl Next Door on Instagram, Cherie Writes on Twitter. And, you know, drop me an email. I'm always down to, you know, communicate back and forth. Until next time, everybody, peace.